Welcome to Global Focus with Zeanette Hansrod and myself, Charlene James. I am a playwright and I've written a play called Cutting It, which tackles the issue of female genital mutilation.
The award-winning play toured secondary schools in London and Birmingham for a month early this year. Cutting It was produced by the Young Court at the Royal Court Theatre. The play is about two Somali teenagers, Ikra and Muna, who live in UK, and even though they are world apart, slowly get closer and realise that they both experienced female genital mutilation.
So, Charlene James, you were first aware of female genital mutilation in 2013 through a documentary by Leila Hussein, The Cruel Cut. A year later, you wrote the play Cutting It. There are many shocking things happening in the world, which you've heard, read, and seen. But why choose FGM?
I watched the documentary and after that I was quite shocked by what so many young girls are going through throughout the world. And so I did research on it, and the more I researched into it, it was just something that I just felt like I needed to talk about, because when I was talking about it to my friends, they weren't aware of it either. So I just felt like there are so many subjects I could have tackled in the world, but this one, it just kind of got to my gut really, and I just felt like I needed to speak about it.
What is wrong?
I don't know if I should tell her. Don't know how to. I feel my chest getting all tight, like I can't breathe. Like it's just gonna explode if I don't just get it out. I'm trying to make sense of it. Trying to find the words, but the tears are building up. They're welling up. So I just say it. It's my little sister's birthday soon. She's gonna be 7. I think they're gonna cut her.
FGM is illegal in the UK since 1985. But it's still being practiced. Do you have the impression that most people in UK think that FGM only happens far away in Africa and not in their own country?
Yeah, and that was one of the main reasons I wanted to make aware that this isn't just happening in Africa. It's not just happening in Indonesia or those faraway places that we can just kind of shut off from. It's happening to girls that your children might go to school with. It's happening to women who you might be working with. And it's happening in this country. It's happening in cities like Birmingham, like London, like Glasgow. So it's not a thing that we can just turn a blind eye to and say, oh, but it's their problem. It's actually our problem as well. And it's up to us to do something about it.
How did you come to choose a premise for the play, that is two Somali teenagers in a large city in England having both experienced FGM?
So I'd watched the Leila Hussein documentary, and a lot of the research that I'd seen at this happening to women in Africa was mainly from Somalia and Somali women. So that was my way into Somalia for there. But then reading articles of it happening in Scotland, it's not just an African thing. It's happening to a diaspora that's happening in Birmingham, London, all of those. So I knew it had to be a big city that could be any one of those cities. I really believe that this generation of young people are the people that can stop FGM happening. So it had to be two young girls, two 15-year-old girls who are able to make that change. And when we went in to do the school tour, it was just really inspiring to see these young women who had so much to say about life. And you could just feel that these are the women that are going to make that change. They were able to relate to these characters and they were like, oh, that could be my friend. So it's up to me to kind of go back to my community and say, this isn't right and this should stop happening.
And they were Somali?
Not just Somali. We had children from all different areas and backgrounds, so they weren't just Somali girls, and other girls could relate to that. Girls from like English backgrounds who had seen it and were moved by it, because it's not just, oh well, I'm not Somali so it's not my problem. It's not that. These are girls who I share a classroom with, and these are my friends and my peers. That's enough for me to stand up for these girls and do something about it. And the thing that's important is, for me, I chose Somalia because of the documentary and because of the initial research I'd done. But Somalia isn't the only country that practices FGM. It's happening everywhere. It happens worldwide. So those girls could have easily been Kenyan, Indonesian, or anything else.
You know, it is better for her that she gets cut now rather than later.
What?
Later will be painful for her.
Not sure I'm hearing her right.
Oscar to repeat it. Later will be painful for her, but now...
Is she serious? Is this girl standing in front of me, chatting serious? Later will be painful for her, but now... Now what, Oscar? Now what, Ikra? She's 6 years old. You think she's not going to feel anything?
It is better for them when they are young.
Better? Can you actually hear yourself?
Let me ask you this, Ikra.
Did you think it was better that they got me young too? Women that I'm supposed to look up to and trust, throwing me down, pinning me on the hard floor with their vice-gripped hands, clamping back my shoulders, digging their heavy knees, pressing and bruising up my chest. Was that supposed to be better for me? Pulling at my dress and cutting me, having her mutilate me.
You have no connection with Somalia or the Somali community in UK. Your family is originally from Jamaica, and you have no one in your surrounding who suffered from FGM. How did you manage to recreate the subtlety of a teenager of Somali origin living in UK?
So I used to work at a primary school in East London, and we had a small Somali community there. My parents are Jamaican, they were born in Jamaica and they came over here. So we have a little bit of a cultural clash because I had never lived in Jamaica. So they have cultural references that don't apply to me, and that there's a little bit of a clash there. So I thought were really important to just show how do you have those dual identities and how are you juggling that? So that there's that clash, which I think is really interesting, of how those two marry together, and FGM is one of those things. You know, you're trying to assimilate into a country that your parents weren't part of, and but they're over here. And I just think the complexities of those, can you have those two things of like, oh, but these are beliefs that my parents have brought from their country here, but my friends at school don't believe in that, and that's not the way that these things are happening here. And I think that's really interesting, those identities that you have to put on yourself and all these layers that you have, and you're having to kind of survive in a world where you're wanting to embrace your culture, but you might not fit in within that culture as well. It's, you know, challenging cultural beliefs and things that have been tradition for so long. So it's really hard to see your child doesn't want to be part of a community and a tradition because they're in a new country. So I think that's difficult for both parent and child.
But you can relate to that, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Caribbean, but I'm also British. You know, when I was very young, having Caribbean food, it was like, oh, I'd prefer Yorkshire puddings. And now ackee and saltfish is one of my favourite foods. And, you know, when my dad cooks it when I go back to Birmingham, it's a celebratory thing of, yeah, this is my Caribbean heritage, but I can also still eat my Yorkshire puddings or shepherd pie, and I can be Caribbean and I can be British. It's who I am.
You said that it is important to have an element of humour in your work.
Yeah, I mean, I can't ask an audience to sit and watch an hour and 10 minutes of talking about female genital mutilation and girls being cut and things like that without having some lighthearted relief in there. And I think what's important is that you have to create characters that are relatable and likeable, and especially with Muna, she's very much someone you can relate to, and, you know, there's a lot of humour that comes from her. And it's to get the audience on side and to relax and to be like, okay, I know this girl, I've seen her, you know, she's on the buses. And then once we're in there and we go, yep, we know who this is. And then she's been able to tell that devastating story and we're kind of with her. It's harder to walk away from somebody that you're having a laugh and a joke with and you really relate to. So I think it's really important to have those lighter moments in a play, which is, you know, you say to someone, oh, do you want to come and see my play about FGM? And you see their look on their face of like, oh my gosh, is this going to be like an hour of torture? No, it's not. Well, hopefully it's not. So, yeah, it's really important to have that balance.
See, when I get nervous and awkward and stuff, sex don't pass these lips. So I don't carry on normal and say, hi, or hi, Ikra, how's your day been? No, none of that. What comes out of my babbling mess of a mouth is, oh, all them steps make me want to do a wee. I'm proper bursting. Can I use your loo, please? She don't say nothing for a sec. I should have left it there, but I ask again. I ain't going to do a number two. I promise it's just a wee. Oh, I've never come to someone's yard and violated like that. I swear it's just a wee.
Did you get any reaction from Somalis?
Sometimes I'm
It wasn't just Somalis that I was hoping to get a response from. It was, you know, survivors, it was communities of people who had been through this. So it was, have I told that truth for you? And is this something that is going to help your communities? And the overall response was really positive, especially when we went into the schools as well. We had a really positive response of young people thinking, yeah, I need to change this. This isn't right. You know, I want to see a stop to this. And there might be some women who still agree with FGM, but hopefully if they came to see the play, just like the character of Vikra, we hope that her mindset might be changed. You might look at your daughter and say, do you know what, maybe this isn't the right thing for you. There's other ways to celebrate our traditions and cultures.
The actor said the way you wrote Cutting It draws people into it and they connect it very quickly. Do you know how you did that?
Yeah, I think that's what I said about having two young girls that you can relate to. I remember being like Muna on the buses coming from school, and I still see those. Like when, if I get on a bus at 3:30, you see those kids. They don't change. They're still listening to music. They're still talking about, you know, what's happened at school or what's happened on TV. You know, Muna isn't defined by her FGM. That's not all she is. I don't want it to just be this sad girl on stage talking about female genital mutilation. There's so many more aspects to her. We listen to Rihanna as well. We love those jokes and do all that. So I think you get an audience in that way of like that relatability of them, and then once they're there, then you can start telling the hard-hitting story of this is why you're here to hear this message.
Thank you, Charlene James.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.